蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
如果我们能够瞥见一眼天堂的话，是不是这会对神的信心大增呢？这里是良友电台的中英文双语节目《蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today》，我是乐心，和我一起主持的是 Charles Morris。不知道你每年的读经计划里，读启示录和研究启示录会占据多少的比例呢？如果我们想知道世界的末日会发生什么事情，难道启示录不就是最好的答案吗？刚刚过去的那个礼拜，乐心教会的姊妹小组呢，就学习查考了哥林多前书的15章，就是讲到保罗针对教会中的流言没有死人复活这回事，谈到了耶稣基督的复活。如果基督没有复活，我们的信就是徒然，我们就比众人更加可怜了。复活和天堂这两个概念呢，总是会连在一起来想。然而很现实的一种情况就是，一个信主很多年的基督徒，固定的参加教会的聚会，参加圣经学习祷告会，也去积极的传福音，可是他的思想只停留在耶稣为他的罪死在十字架上，耶稣为他做出了伟大的牺牲，但是呢，却很少会想到耶稣第三天复活的事实，以及那是耶稣复活的大能，将来呢也会是所有信他的人复活的事实。由此往下看，这样的基督徒自然也就比较少的去想到将来新天新地的事情了，将来在永恒当中敬拜神、瞻仰神荣光的事了。乐心我自己啊，在过去的这几个月的时间里呢，一直都在上启示录的课程。一开始上的时候呀，完全就跟不上他的速度，不知道老师在讲什么，也不知道圣经的这段内容描述的究竟是什么。然而越学到后面，越看到了一幅大的图景的时候，我的心里就慢慢的冒出了一个想法。这个想法就是说，我要开始认真的来对待我的信仰了，认真的对待我和上帝的关系了。我不能再像以前一样有着一种轻忽的随意的态度。这并不是说乐心以前就没有好好的读经，没有好好的参加聚会，没有什么肢体生活。我的意思是说，当我去意识到将来未来要发生的事情是必定会成就的，知道我将来还是会站在耶稣的面前来为我今生所做的事情在他那里要得到奖赏的时候，我就突然觉得我以前对待信仰的态度还不是那么的严肃，不是那么的谨慎。启示录所说到的末日是真实的，那一天必定会来到，有关永恒、审判、神的国这些的术语都不是说说而已的，而是真的真的会发生。所以乐心就说，我觉得我要严肃地来对待信仰这回事了。我觉得我要以未来来看现在的这个视角来审视我每天的生活，以及呢来审视我言行举止的每一个动机。这个就是乐心在学习完了启示录之后有的一种思想的转变。那我也希望我在节目当中做的这个见证呢，也能够激励到你，让你去认真的花时间花功夫的来学习启示录。神把末日的情况向我们启示出来，我想其中一个非常重要的原因就是神希望我们能够在末后的日子把自己预备好。今天来到瞥一眼天堂的第四集， Charles 呢就会和我们分享几段启示录对新天新地的描述。我相信老约翰在受到启示看到将来新天新地的景色时呢，一定被他的荣美震慑住了。 但是实在很难有人类的语言能够精准的来把当时的那幅画面描述出来。神呢，就给了他那些的语言，让他尽可能的去形容，也尽可能的用我们人在地上有的有限的参考系去与之产生关联。一首诗歌之后，我们就来听听 Charles 的分享。
Haven Today opens now with the voices of Falls Church Anglican, just outside Washington, D.C., and behold our God.
Who has held the oceans in his hand? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Seated on his throne, come let us sing.
A thousand amens. Behold our God. That's Falls Church Anglican opening this haven today. You know, the Bible tells us the end of the story. And normally we don't like spoilers to great stories. But when it comes to the greatest story ever told, knowing the end gives us perspective in our day to live. Well, we're in this series, Peeking into Heaven. We're looking at key places in Scripture showing us what heaven will be like and is like, seeing how even in the Old Testament, there are glimpses of heaven, pictures of paradise. And now we're going to look to the very end of the Bible. Here's how Randy Alcorn, author of the book Heaven, describes this future world.
When I think about the new earth, I just get excited. You know, the thing to understand about new earth is it's not non-earth. It's like the earth we live in, except without all the bad stuff. And this is what the redeemed world will be like. So, what do you enjoy here? Do you enjoy your relationships with people? Your relationships with animals? Do you enjoy art and music and the natural world, waterfalls, hiking? Some people think, oh, well, that stuff won't be on the new earth. Well, why wouldn't it be? We're going to be resurrected people with real bodies. Jesus said, look at my body. I'm not a ghost. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as I have. We'll be real people living on a real earth. So you don't have to have a bucket list of all the things you're going to get done in this life, because in the life to come, we'll be experiencing the world that God has created, a redeemed world more beautiful and more wonderful and enjoyable than anything we've ever seen before.
Thank you, Randy Alcorn. What enthusiasm you have, pointing us to Jesus and the world to come. We think of Revelation as more about the end times, the apocalypse, the end of the world. But that is not how the book ends. I'll repeat, that's not how the book ends. The Apostle John finishes this letter of encouragement with a vision that he received from Jesus about our heavenly home, the new heavens and the new earth, and here's how the vision begins. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Now, if that doesn't get your spiritual juices flowing, nothing will. What does John see? He sees heaven coming to earth, the new Jerusalem descending down. And when this happens, John says that God's dwelling place is among the people. This opening description tells us that heaven is a new place. That means it's not a part of this world yet. The Lord will bring heaven down in that last day. It tells us that this new place is where God will dwell forever. And amazingly, we get to be there. Those of us who've trusted in the Lord will be with him forever in this new home. He tells us also that suffering and pain will be gone. That should be comforting to us. And most everybody listening to me today live in relative comfort. Imagine, though, how comforting this is to a persecuted church, especially Christians who are undergoing persecution for their faith even today. Well, that's who Revelation was written for, suffering Christians. It's only those who have pledged allegiance to King Jesus that get to live in his kingdom forever. John telling us that those who live in opposition to the king actually face the judgment of the Lord. But for those of us who trust in Christ, we have this home to look forward to. Let's hear a little more about it from Revelation. He carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It just keeps getting better, doesn't it? Now, you and I have never seen anything like what is described. Even the most beautiful places in the world, think of the Taj Mahal in India, it doesn't compare. This entire city of God will shine with the glory of the Lord, those precious stones and metal everywhere. We looked at the Garden of Eden earlier this week. It was a paradise. But what we're sharing from here in Revelation is all that the garden was pointing us to, the dwelling place of God with humans in a perfect new creation. When the Lord finally brings his dwelling place down to us, we won't have need of a temple. The temple is where the people meet with their Lord. His presence is represented in the temple. The Lord himself and the Lamb are our temple. What does that mean? It means his presence will be tangible. We'll experience and see him everywhere. There won't be times of intimacy with the Lord and times of spiritual drought. We'll know the Lord. We'll be close to the Lord. We'll sing praises to him forever and ever. And we'll walk in the light of Christ forever. It will be beautiful. And it should really change how we live here and now. If our home is in heaven to come, we can face the troubles of today. The Lord will be with us now, but also forever. We can reach out to our neighbors today with the good news of Jesus. Listen one more time to how John describes it. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They'll see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Now that is our true home, and that's where we will be forever, eating from this tree of life, rejoicing in the light of our Lord, and only because the Lamb is there, the Lamb slain for us, the Lamb who rose again for us, the Lamb providing for us a place in this heavenly home. Heaven is our home for us who have trusted in the Lamb. And I pray that's you today. Then we can long for this day to come when we will see His face and sing His praise as we serve Him forever and ever.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on His hands, my name is written on His heart. I know that when in heaven He stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart.
God Above, Sovereign Grace, featuring Kristen Getty here on Haven Today. And I'm Charles Morris. And this program called Peeking into Heaven.
瞥一眼天堂，我特别喜欢 Charles 说的，如果我们知道将来一定会发生的事情，那么今天我们如何过好当下的生活，就会有着由未来决定现在的眼光了。举一个非常简单的例子，如果你知道到明天中午12点钟的时候，你的银行账户一定会出现100万美金，这件事情必然会发生。那么今天晚上，你是否还会选择坐公交车回家呢？还是说坐地铁回家呢？或者进一步说，你今天晚上是不是还会回到那个小小的、光线很暗淡的出租屋睡觉呢？或者你是否会选择去你们这座城市里面最顶级最豪华的酒店，去那里享受一晚上的总统套房的待遇呢？你知道今天晚上你睡在总统套房里， 明天等到要付钱的时候，你拿出银行卡一刷就好了，因为里面一定有100万美金，一定能够支付得起你在总统套房所消费的房费。当然这个例子呢，乐欣是从一个非常的物质的角度来说明的。如果我们知道未来会怎么样的话，那么眼下我们怎么来使用自己的钱财，怎么使用自己的1块钱、100块钱，这个视角就会发生一个翻天覆地的转变。但是关于未来，我们要与神同在，神要永远做我们的神，我们要永远做他的子民，这个部分的内容呢，所关乎到的就是我们个人身心灵的全部方面了。到时候我们的身体得熟，身体不会再有现在会出现疲累、衰老，还有这里流血啦、那个地方骨折了这种事情，在以后是不会有的了。而我们的心呢，我们的心思意念、我们的情感这部分，不会再有沮丧、失望、受伤、没有安全感以及孤独等等的情绪了。我们的灵可以和上帝进行一种毫无阻碍的相交，就完全的实现了主耶稣在约翰福音第四章说到的，我们会按着真理在圣灵里敬拜上帝。这些就是我们现在可以确信的事情，是我们现在对将来所存有的盼望。希望今天节目当乐欣和 Charles 与你分享启示录的内容时，能够帮助你看到耶稣基督他不仅是为了你的罪死在十字架上，让你在神的眼中成为一个有义的人，除此之外，耶稣基督他埋葬了，并且在第三天他复活了，将来他会带着荣耀的身体再次的出现在我们眼前，我们呢也要有一个荣耀的身体，并且我们会与他在永恒当中，到时候我们就会永远的来敬拜神了，那种全然的被满足是我们在地上，是我们今天每时每刻都渴望的。而到了那个时候呢，他就会从永远持续到永远，这是一个非常美好的盼望。也像 Charles 说到的，尤其是对于现在正在遭受逼迫的教会，正在遭受苦难的弟兄姊妹来说呢，这是一个可以让他们忍耐下去、坚持下去的动力。如果我们对明天没有盼望，我们今天活着的意义、今天所生活的意义又在哪里呢？这就是今天蓝天绿洲想和你分享的全部节目内容了，非常谢谢你的收听。听完之后，如果你有任何的感受的话，欢迎发送短信到13229966122来和我们说一说。短信的开头呢，请你注明蓝天两个字。乐欣和 Charles 就在明天的同一时间和你分享最后一集《瞥一眼天堂》，拜拜。
Has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and